All right. Welcome to Indie Media On Air. That is Zounds with Subvert, and I can't think of a more appropriate song to listen to tonight because we are going to be talking to folks on the ground at the Wall Street Occupation Live. And joining us to do that will be Marissa Holmes and Nathan Schneider. They are organizers, two of many organizers, as we will hear of how this is been put together. I want to welcome both of you. I think you guys are with us. Marissa and Nathan, welcome to Indie Media On Air.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello.
Well, it's really great to have you. You guys are live from the occupation, yeah?
That's right. We're here. We're at Liberty Plaza in Financial District, about a block from Wall Street.
Well, I want to share with the audience a couple pieces of information before we get started. One is you can go to a live video stream that is on a website called OccupyWallStreet.org. So check that out. There's also a live IRC chat happening as we speak for those who have access to computers. If you're interested in that, it's irc.indiemedia.org, and the chat room is Occupy Wall Street. So Marissa, let's start off with you, and why don't you tell us a little bit about how this got organized.
Right. Well, the initial call was put out by Adbusters, but then here in New York, we decided to start having general assemblies, which over the last 6 weeks, we've been having citywide assemblies of about 100 people a week, and we've been planning for the 17th, so we're also interested in long-term plans. I mean, we want general assemblies happening in every neighborhood around New York City, and everywhere, really. I mean, it's a model. It's a beginning for creating a new world.
And maybe Nathan, you can tell us what you're seeing right now on the ground and give our listeners a sense of what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting. It's actually kind of hard to pull ourselves away, I think. What's happening right now is that there's a general assembly meeting, and the thematic working groups are giving their report back, which means that different groups have been discussing issues that they're concerned with, things like economy, environment, human rights, that sort of thing. And right now what they're doing is reporting to the larger group, and those reports will then be synthesized. So this is the first major step in the process toward coming to a really clear sense of what this group is committed to and how they want to present their themselves and their position.
Now, maybe a little context should be provided. This call-out, Marissa, was given by Adbusters, as you say, but there's been a lot of work developing up into this action. And there's been there was a really great article today in The Guardian called "The Call to Occupy Wall Street Resonates Around the World." And one of the senses from reading that article, and if you don't mind, I'm going to quote it real quick. In August,
sure.
The Indignados of Spain sent word that they would be holding a solidarity event in Madrid. Madrid's financial district, activists in Milan, Valencia, London, Lisbon, Athens, San Francisco, Madison, Amsterdam, Los Angeles, Israel, and beyond vowed to do the same. So there's a sense that this is very much connected to the world financial crisis and the resistance that has spawned. So maybe you could speak to that.
Absolutely. Yes, this is in response to the New York General Assembly, which I've been involved with, is very concerned with the global economic crisis. Most of the people here are young, they're overeducated, underemployed, and they've been sold out. We've all been sold out by bankers, by Wall Street executives who care more about profits than they do about people. And it's about time we do something about it. It's a local problem, but it's a global crisis that we're part of. And it's definitely something that connects all of us. It connects those who are resisting in Spain, France, Greece, Israel, all over the world. We're seeing the same response. You know, people, when they're faced with austerity, when they're faced with cuts to social services, when they're faced with the reality that the political institutions that claim to represent them, claim to serve them, have failed them miserably, will resist. I mean, they have to. And we're seeing it. It's a beautiful, amazing phenomenon. And we feel connected here. We're live streaming all over the world here And we want to keep up that global solidarity because really it's a global struggle. We're all in it together.
Yeah. And Nathan, let's. How many people do you estimate have been a part of this occupation? I know it started on Saturday, and we heard numbers of about 5,000. How many people are actually there, still there, and plan on staying the night and continuing?
Well, tonight I think might be the strongest night so far. We've got at least several hundred people, maybe 300. I'm not so great at guessing that sort of thing, but I think it's looking even better than last night. And some new people are coming. A few people had to leave to go back to work for the week or to go back to where they're from. People have come from all over the country and the world to be here. And so it's a little hard to know how many people have been involved because there's been some turnover. And that's part of the spirit of this, too, is not everybody can be here the whole time. So it's really a collective effort to maintain this occupation. Some people come, some people go, people come when they can, and that's how it works. Mm. It's also, I think, important to say something about what led up to this in New York. General assemblies were going on well before this happened, and about 100 people, again, but not always the same people, were meeting every week for about, say, a month and a half. Before this got started in New York City, and they were having this same kind of consensus-based process, practicing but also planning and laying the groundwork for what this occupation would actually look like.
Right. Well, you know, and I want to touch on the organizing aspect of the process by which decision-making was chosen. And in a lot of, from what I'm hearing, and I heard David Graeber's interview this morning on Democracy Now! And been following his tweets, he's been talking a lot about the process itself, which is very horizontal. There are no, traditional leadership, and there's actually a General Assembly, which, you know, a lot of this reminds me of the techniques and the decision-making processes around the anti-corporate globalization movement that was around 10 years ago. And, of course, a lot of the processes that Indie Media uses to organize its network. Can you speak a little bit about, you know, how that process is working and how people are being encouraged to be a part of the General Assembly and to actually have a voice in this process?
Sure, I can speak to that.
Sure.
I don't know. Right now people are chanting, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy... So the General Assembly is a horizontal and participatory process by which we come to collective decisions. And it is definitely in the tradition of consensus process and slow councils that came out of the ultra-globalization movement, also known as the global justice movement. And, we're inspired by that history for sure. So basically, people come and they... give agenda points that they want to, discussion points that they want to cover. And then we try to formulate proposals out of that. And we go through traditional consensus process, which is inclusive and tries to take into consideration as many voices as possible. And it's beautiful. It's real democracy. I mean, we hear a lot about, the established political system and democracy is sort of a word that's thrown around with a lot of different meanings, but here, this is the truest, purest form of democracy, and it's just a beautiful thing. So.
And Nathan, do you want to add anything to that?
No, that's about right.
Okay. So what? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And hey, I'm also having a little trouble hearing because there's such a so much noise coming from the assembly right now. Sometimes it breaks into celebration rather abruptly.
And what are they discussing right now?
Well, they were continuing that discussion, except now they've just broken out some guitars and are singing. And it's important to have this sort of thing going on because the consensus process takes a long, long time. There have been hours long meetings, and there will continue to be. It's slow and grueling, but it pays off. And in order to maintain that sort of energy, you have to have these sort of people have to have a chance to blow off a little steam and get up and sing something. And then also the kind of the marches that we've been doing the past few days have really elevated the group and reminded them why they're here and kept the energy high.
And how has the police response been to these actions? And I know that there were some arrests. Maybe you can give our listeners a sense of what's happening in terms of the confrontation with police. How are they reacting? And what are the organizers, all of you, doing about it?
Okay, so the police so far have been fairly supportive. we've had 7 documented arrests that we know of, that people have engaged with us about. So on Saturday we had 2, we had 4 or 5 more today. The charges so far have been minimal or just like dropped completely. I mean, most everyone has been released because they're such ridiculous charges to begin with. So today, for instance, there are 2 people who were using chalk on the sidewalk at the front of the plaza, which is actually completely illegal. It doesn't destroy any property. It's, it washes away very easily. Both cops came up and were hassling them about it, and they actually admitted that it was illegal, but they were going to go forward and arrest them anyway. And I think, they've been combing the crowd a bit and talking to folks, but it's just, it's scare tactics, right? I mean, they know that we're in a political situation now, and it's not advantageous for them to crack down. I mean, we're nonviolent, we're engaged in democratic process. It would look really bad for them to come in and do anything serious. So, for the time being, we've established sort of a stalemate. And we're allowed to be here in the square. But that could shift and change.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind listeners that you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. This is Indie Media On Air, and I am speaking live to Marissa Holmes and Nathan Schneider, who are live right now on Wall Street in New York City. There's an occupation going on, and if you didn't know about it, you should know about it. You can go to OccupyWallStreet.org and watch a live video feed. You can follow chat rooms at irc.indymedia.org. That's irc.indymedia, IndyMedia.org. And the chat room is Occupy Wall Street. There are a number of places for people to support. I've also heard reports that somebody donated over $2,000 to buy pizzas for the crowd today. And there's other ways for people to check in. I'm guessing that information will be at OccupyWallStreet.org. I also want to invite listeners to call in. If anybody has any questions for Marissa or Nathan, please call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. Get involved in the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about what the plans are for moving forward. Has there been a sense of how long people want to last here? Is it just gonna? It's not scheduled to stop anytime soon. It sounds like it's gonna stop when there's a confrontation. Nathan, maybe you can handle that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. what's happening right now in terms of Marissa disappearing is an indication of how planning and anticipation happens here, which is that there's very little. Because we're in a pretty unpredictable environment and we're trying to keep the space open, it's hard to make plans in advance because the whole group has to be involved. At the same time, as the group develops a rhythm and develops some comfort with each other, that's going to become more and more easy. I don't know. People have been asking, how long are you going to be there? I don't know. What will it take to make us leave? I don't know. I think it's just going to be, there's going to come a time either where we're forced off, in which case we'll have to find other ways to continue the movement, or else there will just be a decision that the time has come. And I was just talking to one of the women here from the movement in Spain, and she was saying that for them, after a while occupying the plaza in the middle of Madrid, they just decided that they had done enough, and that they were ready to end the encampment and move on to other organizing. So, you know, I think right now we're just taking it a day at a time, or even less. We're trying as hard as we can to come to agreements and to plan daily activities that can be predicted. But at the same time, a part of the dynamism is the ability to react to circumstances as they arise.
Now, just to let people know, we're trying to get Marissa back on the line. It seems like we may have lost her. Now, what's your sense, Nathan, of the response of the average person in the U.S.? Have you gotten a good sense of feedback from people supporting this occupation, and what are they saying, if you have?
Well, you know, I think it's been a little all over the place. For one thing, we've gotten some really warm and wonderful indications of support, which is easy enough to tell, as you said, when a whole stack, whenever a stack of pizzas shows up, which is pretty often, as well as other food and donations and that sort of thing. So that means a lot. But then also, we're always getting letters and comments and emails and tweets, and clearly there are a lot of people who are supporting what's happening here. Then again, at the same time, you know, there are a lot of people who don't understand what we're doing, or think they understand what we're doing and resent it in some way, and that's to be expected too. I mean, it's a nonviolent action, but it's a confrontational action, and that's not always going to be pretty. I mean, this morning there was a spontaneous march, which I think probably a couple hundred people marched on Wall Street for about 2 hours, clogging the already barricaded sidewalks in the whole area around the stock exchange. And the people who are trying to get to work today, were not happy about that. You know, a lot of them looked frustrated and annoyed. A few of them were supportive and gave us high fives and that sort of thing. But, you know, this movement is challenging a way of life that Americans have become accustomed to, or some Americans have become accustomed to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so there's going to be some resistance.
You know, it's amazing to me, and I think it's amazing to a lot of people on the left, the so-called left, progressives, et cetera, and radicals. Why is it that, you know, an action like this, which is so timely, especially within the context of, you know, the Wall Street crimes and the lack of prosecution of those crimes, the situation with the mortgages, the situation with, you know, the lack of jobs and security and healthcare, that people wouldn't be out on the streets in mass and understanding this, and it really is somewhat mind-boggling. And the only thing I always come back to is you know, the massive amounts of propaganda put forth by, you know, the corporate press, and, you know, the controlling of the narrative. And it almost seems, and I don't, you know, you, do we have the ability to measure that? But my sense is that in people's gut they know they're being screwed, and yet, you know, the you'd think there would be 100,000 people occupying Wall Street, and maybe it will happen, and, you know, of course it's going to take some time to build that up. But what's your impression of that particular issue, of the hurdles that go into the education issues?
Well, that's really important. I think on the one hand, you were talking about propaganda. You know, I think something that's really, really refreshing about what's happening here is nobody's talking about Obama, nobody's talking about Sarah Palin, nobody's talking about Mitt Romney. Those people who, if you look at any politics section of any newspaper in the country, national politics, or any tuned to CNN when they're not talking about nonsense, you know, and they're at least trying to cover something, it's a farce. I mean, these politicians we know are just basically grandstanding because they have to, it seems, for corporate money. And votes come from the money, not the other way around. And so it's really refreshing here to be in a place where politics is broader than that and where people are freeing themselves to think of other possibilities. The problem is people are in this country are so used to thinking of the political options as they appear in this, you know, binary system, which is really controlled or structured in such a way that it can't escape the corporate bankrollers. And in terms of people coming out onto the street, well, you know, I think part of it is just frustration. Since the civil rights movement, there haven't been a whole lot of popular civil disobedience movements in the United States that have been able to achieve their aims in a really, really concrete way. And I think of this in terms of my generation in particular. I was 18 when the war in Iraq started. I remember taking part in the protests against it in 2003, calling for the war to be prevented. We had massive numbers. We had incredible international coordination. It was an amazing event. Yet the war went on, and the protests weren't strategic in a way that they were able to accomplish something. So I think we're in a time now in this revolutionary year of 2011 where things are happening all around the world where, you know, people are starting to remember again that actually popular movements can change the world and can change things. And so I hope that this action will be a positive experiment in people power and will remind the American people, that even a couple hundred people can make a difference and can crack open the two-party shell a little bit and raise new questions and propose new answers.
You know, that was very well said. And, you know, one of the things you said when that sort of lifted a burden off my shoulders, it felt like, is when you said that nobody's talking about the presidential candidates or Obama. And it really seems that no matter where you turn, that is the framework that we're always given. And breaking out of that framework seems like extremely important and a great first step again, really. And, you know, what you're articulating about how people work together and actually focus in directly, especially in the Wall Street case. You know, one of the things that the global justice movement did 10 years ago was focus on international financial institutions and on capitalism itself. And that seems to be happening again with this action, and I think it's incredibly crucial. Not to mention the fact that, you know, one of the things mentioned in the Guardian article was the issue of the environment, and which we even began to tackle. And, you know, that's like the big elephant in the room. What is going to happen with the relationship between capital and the environment, and where that's all going to go? Any final words? We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you say about the environment is really important, and I think it's a bellwether for the kind of crisis we're in. And maybe that's part of the problem is people don't realize what a crisis we are in. But it's so sad when so many of us are able to recognize that the Earth is in grave, grave danger. We know it's true. Yet we're unable to do what's necessary to prevent it. I mean, it's amazing that we're doing something that we can't stop. It's such a sign of a lack of political imagination. I mean, we should be able to build the kind of world we want and need, right? That's what politics is about. That's what human beings should be capable of, yet something has gotten in our way, and that's what this movement is trying to unstick and unsettle and hopefully spread.
Yeah, Nathan, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Indie Media on Air, and I want to thank Marissa Holmes as well. Unfortunately, she got cut off, It's been a pleasure having you, and I wish you all the best on your occupation of Wall Street.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having us on the show.
Sure. And for listeners, go to OccupyWallStreet.org and check it out. That's OccupyWallStreet.org, live video feed. And you can get other information there, follow up. And thanks for listening. This is Indie Media On Air, and I'm out.
Got computer junk? Well, it's time to recycle that at the KPFK Recycle Day, Saturday, September 24th at MacArthur Park. DJs Boxy D and Chuck Foster will DJ, and Sergio from the Global Village will present an original DJ set with live percussion. A must-see. We'll have food trucks, too. When you turn in your old hardware, it'll get recycled and converted to funds for the Solarize KPFK project. For more information, go to kpfk.org or call the front desk at 818-985-2711, extension 200. Save the date and all your e-waste for the KPFK Recycle Day on Saturday, September 24th.
Yo, this is Immortal Technique. Right now, you're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles. Revolutionary commentary. You know what it is. KPFK, bringing you the realness. Peace.
Hall of the streets, stay flooded in white powder.
KPFK's webcast of the day for Mondays is Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolff. The ongoing economic crisis continues to be the dominant story of this decade, and no one breaks it down like Professor Wolff. To hear Economic Update with Richard Wolff, all you have to do is go to kpfk.org, and right there on the right side of the front page is a link to the webcast of the day. Click on it and enjoy Economic Update. And check out the webcast of the day 7 days a week on kpfk.org.